So what if there's a debt crisis in Europe? Estonia will start using the euro anyway.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. When the clock strikes midnight in Estonia, they won't just be popping champagne corks. They'll be trading in their old money, krones, for their new money, euros. Estonia will become the 17th country using the currency. For more, we turn to reporter Christopher Worth in London, who's just returned from covering this story in Estonia. Hi, Christopher.
Hey, good morning, Jeremy.
So it's been a tough year for the eurozone with the bailouts in Greece and Ireland. The eurozone is what we call the area that uses the euro currency. I have to ask, is this really the best time for Estonia to be joining the euro currency?
Well, you know, the answer you'll get from Estonian officials is yes. The reason is that Estonia is already sort of a de facto member. The country has been pegging its currency to the euro for about a decade now. And the analogy I heard, you know, is that Estonia is already, you know, it's already traveled 90% of the way. So jumping on board tonight will, you know, just be like finishing the journey.
So jumping on board, I mean, are they jumping on board a sinking ship, though?
Well, you know, that could be. And you know, we often hear talk that the eurozone could split into two parts. And I put this to several economists in Estonia. And the answer I often got was, you know, if the eurozone is a sinking ship and there are only two lifeboats, then we want to make sure we get on the one with Germany while we still can. Morris Lorry is with Swedbank in Tallinn.
Even if this will happen, that eurozone will break up, it would be very important to Estonia to be very close to Germany, to get the benefits of a stronger union as long as it is possible.
So that's the long term. But tonight, most Estonians will just be getting used to life with the euro. You know, when they go to the ATM, it will spit out euros instead of the old Estonian krones that they're used to. And when they pay for something in old krones, say at a store, the cashier will hand them back euros in change.
Sounds kind of complicated for New Year's Eve, but we'll be watching. Christopher Worth in London, thanks so much and Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Well, on Sunday, for the first time, the federal government will unveil regulations for greenhouse gas emissions at power plants, refineries, and paper mills. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong reports.
The rules force big industrial facilities to get greenhouse gas permits before they build. For the planet, it's monumental, says Jackson Morris at Pace University's Climate and Energy Center.
There with China as far as the leading emitters of greenhouse gases, and yet we are farther behind probably than any other developed nation in doing anything about it.
The EPA says facilities have to use the best available technology to cut carbon pollution. Fuzzy definition, says electric utility consultant Peter Fox Penner. So he thinks new power plants will play it safe and use low-carbon fuels, i.e. not coal.
Whether it's a coal plant or natural gas or wind or solar, these rules have a substantial impact in discouraging coal.
The EPA has been busy. It's already issued greenhouse gas rules for cars starting model year 2012. Still, key Republicans and coal state lawmakers vow to undercut the agency, while defenders say bring it on. The next spending bill comes in March. Stand by for madness. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down across the globe right now. Tokyo shed about 1% today. The state of California says residents increased their gasoline use last quarter. That would be the second straight increase following almost 4 years of declines. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 15 points to close at 11,569.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies.
If you take a look at Billboard's list of the top-selling albums of the week, you've got a lot of hip-hop artists in the top 20. Diddy, Rihanna, Kanye West. Well, that's no surprise to Dan Charnas. He got into the hip-hop business 2 decades ago. And he's just written a book on the history of the business of hip-hop, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So first, give us a sense of the industry that we're talking about here. How fast has the hip-hop industry grown, and how big is it today?
Well, it started as just people going to clubs and parties, and now it's all over the world. The last French election, there were rap theme songs for each presidential candidate.
How did it go from the clubs of Harlem to what it has become today, which is really just as big as any other genre of music?
it wasn't even thought of as music. It was just stuff that was done at parties. And somebody had an idea to put that on a record, and that was Sylvia Robinson of Sugar Hill Records. And her record was Rapper's Delight. And the auspicious thing about that record is that even though it was the first record, it was a huge record.
What's the biggest disaster of the hip-hop business that you covered in this book?
It's the story of a small vinyl printing plant in Los Angeles called McCullough Records. And it was founded by a guy named Don McMillan, and these guys in the mid-1980s kept giving him these records to press up, and finally he started distributing them nationally. And what happens with this guy is that he doesn't sign these artists to contracts, and in the end ends up losing all of them. And these artists include Eazy-E, Dr. Dre, N.W.A., Ice Cube.
All along the way, as you write in your book, there's a relationship between the hip-hop artists and the businessmen who are making it happen. Both have a lot to gain and a lot to lose from each other. How did each side walk that line?
Well, at first, it was a sort of a traditional artist-to-industry relationship. But as we moved into the 90s, artists became entrepreneurs themselves. Sean Combs, obviously Jay-Z. You're talking about people who have been hustlers from the beginning. If you're coming from some of the communities that Jay and Puff came from, you kind of know how to make a buck because you've been watching your parents hustle. You watch the guys on the street corner hustle. Hip-hop draws on that energy.
Dan Charnas, author of The Big Payback, The History of the Business of Hip-Hop, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And finally, starting today, all Navy submarines will be non-smoking. Turns out the rate of smoking among submarine sailors is twice the national average. About 40% of them smoke, which means let's just be thankful we're not on the submarine with them today. It's probably going to be pretty unpleasant. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. On Twitter, at Jeremy Hobson. From all of us here at the Marketplace Morning Report, Happy New Year. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Mailboxes are stuffed this time of year with charity requests, but the economic and environmental costs can add up.
The vast majority of people don't even open the envelopes, so it really is a tragedy.
I'm Bob Moon, the value of direct mail, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.